Amen. I'm sure that all of you, all of us, were shocked as we read about the shooting, heard about the shooting in Florida this week. And I guess the question that I have is, what could cause someone to be so evil? Now, there's a lot of answers to that, and we could talk about all those things. But the simple matter of fact is there are many evil influences in this world. And those evil influences have been around for a long time. It started right after it started at the fall. And those evil influences were going on this last week. They were going on in 2 Kings. And we're going to look at three different kings this morning. And I've called it the trilogy of evil influences. Okay? And so we're going to look at these three guys and look at the evil influences that they came upon them. And I want to remind you again today. Now, we're studying a story that took place 3,000 years ago. But those evil influences are the same today. They're still going on today. And I'll tell you, folks, God, the devil still is after you today. The Bible says he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and the devil wants to destroy your life. If you're a believer, he can't destroy your soul. You're going to heaven. But he does want to destroy your life. And we need to stop and remember that there are evil influences today within us and all around us that are on the attack. And we're going to see that in these guys' lives. So, number one, I want you to see a guy named Hazael. He was a corrupt king. And let's read about him. 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 7. And Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God has come hither. Now, this is an amazing verse to start with. Damascus is in Syria. Ben-Hadad is the king of Syria. What has Elisha's relationship to that king been? Yeah, he was telling him where he was going to be. God blinded the whole army. He took him downtown and to Samaria where they could be killed. I mean, he's been the nemesis of this king. But here he is in Damascus, and Ben-Hadad realizes something. This guy's a man of God. And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thine hand and go meet the man of God and inquire of the Lord by name, saying, shall I recover this disease? So he sends Hazael, his right-hand man, his first lieutenant. And so Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him, even a very good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden. That's quite a... Now think about that, folks. How much can a camel bear? I have no idea. But 40 camels bringing stuff to this guy. And they came and stood before him and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, hath sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? Elisha said unto him, go say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit the Lord has showed me that he shall surely die. So he says, look, you're asking about his sickness. He's going to recover from his sickness, or he could. But he's not going to. He's going to die. Not from the sickness. So he goes on. And in verse 11, he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. And Hazael said, why weepest thou, my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire. Their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and listen to this, and will dash their children, and will rip up their woman with child. Whoa. So Elisha tells this man, Hazael, look, you are going to be a wicked, wicked, wicked king. You're going to tear down the strongholds. You're going to kill the young men. You're going to dash the children. I mean, I assume that would be taking the children and throwing them on rocks or something to kill the children. And then you're going to take the pregnant women and you're going to slash them and kill the babies. Nice guy. I mean, just about as corrupt as you can get. And verse 13 is kind of a strange verse. And Hazael said, but what is thy servant, a dog, that he should do this great thing? Now, I don't quite understand that verse. Here's how I'm going to interpret it. Hazael said, man, I'm not that bad. I'm not that wicked. There's no way I would do that. I mean, you'd have to be a dog to do those kinds of things. He said, no, that's not me. And Elisha answered, the Lord has shown me that thou shalt be king over Syria. So he departed from Elisha, came to his master, who said to him, what said Elisha to thee? And he said, he told me that thou shouldest surely recover. It came to pass in the morrow, he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water, spread it on his face that he died, and Hazael reigned in his stead. Nice guy. Now, it's interesting, by the way, years earlier, God had told Elijah one of the jobs he was going to do was going to be to anoint Hazael king. I mean, God was in control of this whole thing. This is part of a punishment for Israel. So Elisha comes and he fulfills that. But the question is, how did a man get to be so evil? How could a man be so evil that he would do that to children, to small children? By the way, that kind of stuff's going on today. Every often you read about a man who takes a child and beats it to death. How could a man be so evil that he would do such a thing? How could a man be so evil as to go up to a woman who is expecting and to slash her and kill that baby and kill the mother? Where did his evil, what was the evil influence that drove this man to such wickedness? Okay. True. Desire for power. Unbeliever. It was in his heart. Why did he act the way he did? He was an evil, wicked man. He had a fallen nature. He was born a sinner. He was born with wicked desires. Now, before you get too holy, I want to remind you of something. You're born with the same heart. Same heart. Same evil, wicked inclinations. Jeremiah 17:9. Listen, the heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemy. Why are men blasphemers? I work with our young men, or not our young men, the young men that come to play basketball every Monday night, and none of them go to our church. Most of them do not go to church at all. One of my biggest battles is their mouth. Constant battle. Now, the guys that have been around for a while do pretty well. If a new guy comes on the scene, and it's blank this and blank that, and we just have to work with them. Why do they talk like that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Why do people commit terrible acts like this young man did this last week? Because he has an evil heart. He's got an evil heart. But my friends, it is important for us to remember and to realize that we too have evil hearts. By the way, this is the reason that reformation is not the answer to man's problems. What does reformation change? The outside. Doesn't change the heart. And that's why your greatest need is regeneration. Mankind's greatest need is regeneration. They need to be born again. In Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. Probably most people in here, if not all, say there's been a time when I've received Christ. But let me ask a question. Have you ever had a wicked thought, and you said, where in the world did that come from? I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. How could I think such a thing? Well, you still have your old fallen flesh. It's still there. That is why a man like David, who was the man after God's own heart, could commit adultery and murder. Now, I know when you get saved, some major changes take place. But you still have the old flesh. You still have the old desires. And they are simmering underneath the surface, waiting to get out. And lest we say, "Well, Brother Gary, I'm a believer. I love God. I love church." Remember what's inside. I've often heard people say, they see something terrible, someone terrible, and they say, "There, but by the grace of God go I." And boy, isn't that the truth. Before we get all high and mighty and say, "Well, I tithe, I go to church every Sunday, I help old ladies across the street," you know, sound like Pharisees, don't we? "You know, I wear my hair a certain length, and my dress is a certain length, and I do all these things." I want to remind you something. You've got a corrupt, fallen nature. Now you say, "Gary, what's the point? What's the point?" I want to remind you, believer, that every day of your life, your flesh is fighting the Spirit of God. In Galatians chapter 5, 17, it says, "For the flesh lusteth," or is desiring, "against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are the contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." And you turn to Romans chapter 7 sometime and read about the conflict in Paul's life. And Paul said, "Boy, the things I want to do," what happens? "Don't do them. Things I don't want to do, I do them." Have you ever been there? Now, what's the answer? What's the answer? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here's the point this morning, gang. I think sometimes we think, "Well, I'm a believer. I'm going to heaven. I'm okay. I can handle it." No, you can't. All you need to start doing to fall is start feeding your flesh. Just feed your flesh. Just help yourself. Just watch whatever you want to watch. Listen to whatever you want to listen to. Do whatever you want to do. Just feed your flesh. And before you know it, you're going to be doing some things that you never thought you could do. Now, I know Haziel's an unbeliever. I know that. But I think it's true for believers, too. Why do we have pastors who go out and commit adultery? And it happens all too often. Why do we have pastors who go in and steal money from the church? Did they set out one day and say, "You know what? This pastor stuff, it's okay, I like it, but you know, I think I'm going to steal from the church today." No. They got fleshly. I don't think there's one pastor in the world. Now, there may be. I shouldn't say that, because the majority of believing pastors who have fallen to sin, I'm sure that I can't imagine anyone said, "You know what? I want to destroy my life. I want to destroy my ministry. I'm going to go find somebody. I'm going to commit adultery." You think? Now, anytime you say "all," you're in trouble, because there's one nutcase out there, okay? How did it happen? They fed the flesh. And they fed the flesh, and they fed the flesh, and before long, that corrupt flesh controlled them. Now, Mark's already given us the answer to that, by the way. Feed the Spirit. Feed the Spirit. How do you do that? When you get saved, and this is a great truth, the moment you get saved, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes to indwell you. He's living within you. But you still have your old flesh. This battle is going on. We know how we feed the flesh, right? Do I need to go over that? Tell you how you need to how you can feed your flesh? No, we do that naturally. How can you feed your spirit? Get in the Word of God every day. How'd you do this week? Did you spend time in the Bible every day? guys always talk about that. Because if you don't do it, you're feeding the flesh and you're going to fall. That's why. You got to feed the Spirit every day of your life. By the way, you don't have to work to feed the flesh. All you got to do is go to Food City and check out. And look at the checkout. And what's going to happen? They got all the stupid magazines there. What are you going to do? You're going to feed the flesh. It's not fair. I mean, when you have to check out like this. It's everywhere. Turn your TV on. You want to feed the flesh? Turn your TV on. It's there. And what we end up doing, folks, we feed the flesh, we feed the flesh, we feed the flesh. And then we fall and we think, but I'm a Christian. So we need to feed the Spirit. We've already got one. You read the Word of God. Why should you be in Sunday school every Sunday? And let's call it. We're changing it. We're getting. Why should you be in the adult Bible class? That sounds much better. That sounds much more mature. Why should you be there? So I won't come and visit you. I know, that's one reason. Why? So you can feed the Spirit. Because when you get to church, hallelujah, we're going to give you the Word of God. Pastor's going to teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God. And you can have your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, fed. Now look. You've got a choice this week. And I'm going to stop right here. This is as far as we're going. You've got a choice. Some of you just checked out. I shouldn't have done that. That's why pastor never, you know, every time pastor says, I'm done, it's like, okay. Where's my purse? Where's my books? Okay, I got to hurry out. Okay. And maybe you just did that. When I said, I'm done, you said, oh, good. All right. I've got 4 minutes. Okay. So come back with me. Okay. Now look, this week you've got a choice. Am I going to feed my spirit? The Spirit of God, or am I going to feed the flesh? When your alarm goes off tomorrow morning, and you set it early so you could get up and have time to read your Bible and pray, you know what your flesh is going to say? Snooze! Right? And if you do that, you're going to go through the day. And all you're going to do in this world is have the flesh fed. And before long, that old corrupt nature, that old flesh, is going to rise up and you're going to do things and you're going to say, what in the world was I thinking? What was I thinking? And the problem is, we didn't feed the Spirit. By the way, Romans chapter 7 is that passage where Paul talks about his battle. What's Romans 8 about? May I know? Romans 8 is all about how to have victory over the flesh. It's all about the Holy Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit. Right? That's the answer. Now look, folks, I want to remind you this morning from this guy Haziel, who said, I would never do that. We do the same thing as believers, don't we? We hear about somebody doing this over here and someone doing it over here, and we think, I would. But you could. And you will. If you allow the evil flesh and all the world and all of its influences to conform you. Isn't that why Paul said in Romans 12:1, and be not conformed. What's the world trying to do? It's trying to pressure you and make you like it every day of your life. And the flesh is trying to control you. We'll see that next week, Lord willing. But this week, I want you to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to feed the Spirit of God every day. You say, well, Gary, I have got a Bible, but I don't know where to start reading. Well, I'll tell you where I would encourage. if you haven't read the Bible much, get in the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and read a chapter a day and just find out who Jesus was. Because the whole book is to prove that Jesus is the Christ, that he is God. Don't turn to Revelation, say, well, I want the deeper things and this beast and that beast. What in the world? Don't do that. Get in the Gospels. Get in Galatians or Ephesians or Colossians, some of those great letters, those epistles that Paul wrote. And let God just feed the Spirit. And spend time with the Lord, talking to the Lord, and feed. And you know something else that might help you? Take that little plastic thing that's in your house that you lose all the time called the remote and say, off. In fact, you may have one of those fancy things where you just tell it, TV, turn off. Yes. Yeah, that's another great way to feed the Spirit, isn't it? Get some good music. McGee's got a whole radio station on the internet. Just get on it and listen to it. It's free. I mean, it's data, but if you've got Wi-Fi, it's free. Feed the Spirit. About every Sunday morning, I have a CD in my car, different CDs, and on my way to church, I'll turn a song on. You know why? I want to get in the spirit of worship. I want to feed the Spirit. You say, but Gary, I love my old country western music. I'll tell you one thing, your country western music's not going to do. It's not going to feed the Spirit. It'll feed the flesh. And you say, well, but my rock music, well, my contemporary Christian music, well, hallelujah, friends, why don't you just get some good music that has stood the test of time, that'll feed your soul and help you to be the kind of Christian you ought to be. Now, some of you are mad at me. You'll get over it in time. It's okay. Look, there's a battle going on for your life right now. There is. And I want to be like the Psalm 1 Christian. Blessed is the man. Blessed, blessed, blessed. He doesn't walk in the counsel of God. He doesn't sit with the scornful. No, no. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. That's the kind of believer I want to be like. And it only happens if you'll feed the Spirit. Okay? You with me? How many are against me? No, just don't raise your hand, please. Lord, this has been an unusual morning. And you've kind of led us in a different direction than I thought we would go. But God, you're sovereign. You're in control of all these things. We thank you again that you're a God who answers prayer. What a blessing to see what you've done this week. And what a blessing as we look forward to what you're going to continue to do. Lord, help us, I pray. Oh, God, help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us to feed the Spirit of God that we might not give in to the evil inclinations of our hearts. That no one would have to come forward next week and say, oh, I did this terrible thing. Never thought I could, but I did it because I was feeding my flesh. Oh, God, help us to walk in the Spirit, I pray. Oh, we want to be the blessed man, the happy man, the joyful man, the man with the blessed life. Help us, I pray, this week, starting today, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.